From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Jockulation with your host, LB Faust. Jockulation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Jockulation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show.
Damn, that one kind of snuck up on me here. I was expecting, things to go on a little bit longer, maybe some more fuck yeah, you know what I'm saying? But instead, I'll just give you a nearly dead Ric Flair. How about that one, huh?
Whoa!
There you go. Maybe what I should do is actually, take out create a drop off of that fuck yeah. I'm thinking that would be a great thing. Hey, let me ask you a question there for your second. What do you think?
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
Yeah, not quite what we were looking for. But you know, it is what it is. Hey, kids, it's Friday night. It's like the eve of the eve before freaking 4th of July. So, hey, we're all going to be talking about freedom and all of that sort of stuff. Dead air. I don't know what you're talking about there. Hey, kids, so what I want to do in the era of freedom, I've got to go ahead and put a shout out there. A couple days back, I went ahead and I actually put a post up over on my Twitter. I was looking at my analytics the other day. Turns out there's a dude over in Iran, one brave soul, that is streaming the show, and I'm sitting here going, dude, you're going to fucking die over there. Listen, I love you. Shout out to you. You're a brave dude. But I'll tell you what, as much as you might like fart jokes and all that sort of stuff, and hearing shit from America over here, which I guess freedom, question mark, right? Over in America over here, dude, you probably want to go ahead and make sure that you're doing this like on the download. You know what I'm saying? We don't want people to die. We want them to fucking laugh. I'm just saying, man. Yeah, man. Hey, listen, I'm big in Iran right now, Swoop, all of one person, I think. But the point is, I made it to Iran, right? Somebody in Iran is listening to me. And all I can say to you is, good luck. Thanks for listening. Hope you don't get decapitated anytime soon. Something to that effect. You know what I'm saying? No, man, I'm a globalist once I actually get listen out of North Korea. Okay, once I get to that place, then you can sit there and you can say, hey, LP, fantastic. You're a true globalist. You're touching the hearts and minds of people everywhere across the world. At any rate, man, so this week has been very busy because we've been putting together a summertime show, I think, over here. But first and foremost, we have to go ahead and talk about the very important things, right? We've got to talk about what happened with that Princess Diana statue over there, because is that incredibly important shit? I'm just wondering.
How about new?
But no, it still is good filler for this particular show. So, Prince William and, Meghan Markle's accessory, Harry, they unveiled a statue of, Princess Diana yesterday. And here's the thing that gets me. The strangest part about this statue is that it doesn't have, fucking Prince Harry and, William next to him, right? And next to her. Not at all. Who does it have? It has, three random kids chucked in, some last-minute garnish to make the Chef Boyardee, appear sexier, gourmet, and, ethnically and regionally inspired, rather than, the reclaimed plaster wall fragments from the Champlain Tower disaster site mixed with some tomato ketchup, that it really looks like. What, too soon? I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying, right? So there's these random kids that are, chucked in over there. I mean, think about it, right? It kind of, looks similar to, how a piece of, stale parsley is, constantly reclaimed and reused from, every entree over at the Red Lobster and put on somebody else's fucking plate so that they don't have to actually spend money getting some new shit. It's the same thing. They robbed a couple of kids from, the statues over at Michael Jackson's, fucking place and, brought them over and said, here we go, now it's not so pervy. But I digress. So they go ahead and unveil this statue. didn't turn into a shit show, and somehow it was, like, magical that that whole thing didn't turn into, like, I don't know, an episode from fucking Jerry Springer sitting on the, you know, as people are getting there. And it made me start thinking to myself, like, after Prince Chucky dies, and they're going to go ahead and put a statue of him somewhere, could you imagine what that statue of Prince Chucky is going to be like? I mean, think about it. It'll probably be him distanced from a horde of enthusiastic black and brown subjects over at Jesus House as servants, right? So that that way, when he's dead, they're still not thinking that he's a fucking racist, right? I mean, that's probably what it is. And you know what's going to be even better than that? How about when Prince Andrew dies?
How dare you?
Yeah, I know, pretty offensive. But how about when freaking Prince Andrew dies? What are they going to do? Like, go ahead and have him and Jeff Epstein, like, hand in hand and steal all the children's statues from the Diana statue and, like, put a, like, a ring around the rosy kind of thing over there? I'm just wondering, man. I'm just thinking that that's probably what we're going to go ahead and have happen over there because, I mean, is it inappropriate? I mean, probably.
How dare you?
But is it true? That's the question, right? The queen will outlive her children. You know, that's probably true. That's probably true. But listen, we don't want to go ahead and talk about the monarchy because we're no longer subject of that, allegedly. So what we're going to do is we're going to get on with the show here. It's all about summertime. And important summertime trends and things are happening over here. For instance, everybody better go ahead and get their swim gear together, but especially Speedos because, like, budgie smugglers are back. The Speedos Skimpy Swim Trunks have been featured in the latest fashion shows and are now the latest trends. So the briefs are the latest freaky fashion style to make a comeback during the pandemic, including mullets, bell-bottoms, socks, and sandals. You know what I'm saying? Because you folks in Canada, you exported that very, very terrible tradition to the rest of us, and we just like to go ahead and let you know from the bottom of our hearts, I mean,
fuck you fucking fuckers!
But I digress, man. It went ahead and spread like freaking herpes. So the high-end UK fashion firm Orla Bear Brown has decided to add a number of tight trunks to its latest summer collection. They include the tiny 95-pound striped Dachshund shorts. And I'm like, what?
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, $95 freaking dollars for this? You only wear a mankini. And a slingshot bikini, I would think, right? At any rate, they call it, quote, retro and defined. The Dachshund is a classic swim brief. Oh, wait a second. I've got to use this in my English voice here, right? Retro and defined. The Dachshund is a classic swim brief to wear in the pool or on the beach. In a sporty shape, this design offers a great shape retention and maximum movement. All right, let me just stop there. Great shape retention?
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, why don't you just go ahead and get a banana hammock underwear, call it a Speedo, and I bet you get better freaking shape retention, especially if you got a softie going, you know what I'm saying? But I digress, man. Another Versace pair, which is retailing for, can you get this, 190 pounds? I'm like, what?
I like money.
Dude! And featuring two lions on the front are described as classic swim briefs boasting the Barocco mosaic, what is it? Barocco mosaic print, an elegant patchwork of archive prints that celebrate the brand's aesthetic heritage. Bold, confident, these swim briefs boast the iconic Barocco print. What in the fuck is a Barocco print? I'm just wondering. I'm asking myself over and over here, right?
I mean, what the fuck?
But I'm sure when you're in it, then those Barocco prints, it's like, it sounds almost like something that, like, I don't know, Ats David would have over there, like, you know, the Brosino kind of thing. It'd be like, are you wearing your Barocco Speedos while you're playing in the Brosino? Some backgammon and perhaps having a martini. Something along those lines. But I digress, man. So listen, kids, if you're going to go out and hit up a few parties and stuff like that, you got to first get the budgie smugglers to take over there, and then you got to make sure that you get tagged into the parties that only the high society people go to. You know, like the people like, for instance, Bill Gates, who's infamous for hosting, like, nude pool parties, and you would get drunk very easily. I know you're here for me, Swoop. Why, thank you. And, like, Bill Gates, who's infamous for his nude pool parties, and he gets drunk pretty easily. So, like, during Microsoft's big days in the 80s and 90s, Bill Gates had a propensity for partying. Gates preferred to keep his romantic options open while he was dating Melinda, and he struggled to commit to her. Is that a shock? I'm just wondering. I mean, not very much, right? Oops, wrong button. How about that one? Is that a shot?
How about no?
Of course it's not. There we go. There we go. Bill wanted to be married, but he didn't know whether or not he could actually commit to having to it and also have Microsoft. On more than one occasion during nights, he wasn't working his usual 17-hour days, first off. Do we believe for a second that Bill Gates was working 17-hour days?
I mean, how about new?
Like, maybe at the beginning, right? If you were in a room with Bill Gates, would you choke him to death? Nah. I'd just leave him alone, to be quite honest with you. Don't really care for Bill Gates one way or the other. At any rate, so, do we believe that he worked those? Probably not, but at least not towards the end there, right? But he invited friends and dancers from local all-nude nightclubs to swim naked in his Laurelhurst bachelor pad overlooking, Lake Washington. Quote, Gates himself rounded up the girls and brought them over there. Dude, wait a second. Let me go ahead and sit here and say something. First off, that's a wrong editorial quote, right? The correct quote would have been, Bill Gates himself called up Jeff Epstein to go round up the girls out of all the nursery and preschools to go ahead and bring them over for a party over at his place, allegedly. Does that sound a little bit more correct? I mean, hey. Could we have a little bit of journalistic integrity here? That's all I'm asking for, all right?
Can I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So like I was saying, I don't know if he physically transported them there or if he told them where to show up. Yeah, so allegedly we're supposed to believe that like fucking Bill Gates is somehow like, you know, got the magic freaking, Mac power to drag in all the strippers and everything. Absolutely not. I don't believe it for a fucking second. I think that what happened was Jeff Epstein probably came in and said, hey, Bill, you know what? That pool's looking a little vacant over there. You're looking a little lonely. I got just the answer for you. Hold on a second. I'll be right back. That's what we think is happening. But I'll tell you what, kids, allegedly. Got to always put allegedly at the end of that, right? At any rate, so like I was saying, so those are the kinds of parties that we want to go to, right? I mean, we do want to go over to the Bill Gates party, don't we? Of course not, man, because there's probably more like entertaining kinds of parties out there with the kind of people that we'd like to go ahead and hang around and probably people that like Ron is related to. Kind of like the, redneck rave that just recently happened over in Kentucky that a man got his throat slit at. So over in Mammoth Cave, Kentucky, they hosted a redneck rave, which was an event that featured live music and a demolition derby, among other things. Bro, demolition derby. Yes. At any rate, the result of that was a lot of bad. The sheriff's office set up a traffic checkpoint, and it wasn't long before the first arrest was made. Quote, the first vehicle that came through, we found meth, marijuana, and an open alcohol container. And then one of the occupants had two active warrants. We were like, well, this doesn't bode well for the weekend. Now, you're probably asking yourself, over at this redneck rave, I mean, what were some of the highlights? Well, let's go into them. Let's see. The first one was one man's throat was slit, allegedly by a friend who fled the scene and is yet to be found. The second fantastic highlight of the event, a woman was choked until she was losing consciousness during a fight over a blanket. I mean, hey, listen. Third, how about another attendee accidentally drove over a log that went through his vehicle's floorboard and impaled him through his abdomen? Dude, this sounds like the fucking most awesome rave ever. And of course, we have some quotes from the folks that were sitting there. Quote, when it tried to come out through his back, it was stopped by a steel plate behind his seat. He was flown to a hospital after paramedics ruled it safer to leave the log in the man than try to remove it. Hey, listen, we think it's better if we just leave this log attached to your fucking abdomen while we fly you in there, okay? So do me a favor, hold on to this log like you're cradling a baby so that your guts don't spill out all over everybody as the helicopter takes off and airlifts you to the fucking hospital. What in the fuck?
I mean, what the fuck?
At any rate, Justin Stowers, the organizer of the Redneck Rave, he took to Instagram to describe the event as, quote, the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
Actually, wrong button. Let's do this.
Boom!
There we go. Stowers is already looking ahead to the next event and wants everyone to know he's listening to all your suggestions on how things can be improved for the next event. Look at that, man.
Woo!
And in the event that you're wondering, the next Redneck Rave is scheduled for October 14th through the 17th. And if you're looking for the details, no problem. LP's always kind enough to direct you to the correct place to go to check this out. Go ahead and check out redneckrave.com. You can catch up on all the events and all the things that happened over at the Redneck Rave that wasn't actually reported inside this thing. And you can make plans to go ahead and attend the upcoming Redneck Rave, which will be over in Kentucky. What's that? Did I just Krusty the Clown cackle? I don't know, maybe. But I'm thinking to myself, dude, Redneck Rave, this sounds more like you know, something along the lines of like Summer County Carnival, like natural selection kind of thing. I mean, a bunch of people running over shit and crashing into shit. People fighting each other, bringing the meth along and getting impaled by a fucking, log along the way. I'm just thinking, you know, like, the best part about this is Stowers, the organizer of the Redneck Rave, said in a separate post that only one arrest was made, even though the Edmondson County Sheriff's Office reported 48 arrests in total. Well, you know, over at the rave, there's always those that one special person, that one dick that nobody can seem to go ahead and get rid of, that one dick that is always the fucking problem. You know, the one that always demands a ride home and all kinds of shit because he didn't bring his own car and he got dropped off by his girlfriend who he got in a fight with or something like that. Kind of like this dude, the man in Florida who had a tattoo on his face and he's got a Florida tattoo on his face and he called 911 for a fucking ride home. So a man with a Florida tattoo on his forehead had been arrested for calling 911 twice to get a ride home. Matthew Leatham dialed 911 to request a ride home after 4 a.m. in the Newport Richey suburb of Tampa. A Pasco County deputy found him and offered to call him a cab, but he said he didn't have any money. Leatham then began walking in the direction he lives and then decided, you know what? Fuck Uber. Let me call 911 again, right? The officer caught up to him and arrested him as he was on the line, according to the complaint. Authorities say the officers searched Leatham and found marijuana. Because is marijuana really a terrible thing? I'm just kind of wondering.
No.
No, but it's a gateway drug for them to say, you've annoyed the fuck out of me. It's time to go ahead and stick your ass in jail. So you stop calling 911 for a ride home. We'll give you a ride straight to the county jail, right? And of course, you know, in the event that you run into these crazy ass fuckers and you go and, some dickhead next to you decides that he's going to go ahead and start a fucking redneck rave that's going to impale people and go ahead and cause all kinds of mayhem, and you're just tired and don't want to fucking put up with it. You know what they say? Good fences make good neighbors, but no fence does it quite like a fence made out of, like, shit. So, Wayne Lambreth, a neighbor who claims a 250-foot wall of manure was erected following a property line dispute he had with a fellow farm owner last year. Aside from serving as a physical divider, Lambreth and his tenants told Fox News, the manure wall comes with a powerful stench. I'm kind of thinking to myself, hey, man, you know what? No shit, Sherlock. Now, the farmer who built the wall, whose identity has remained anonymous, denied the organic structure was, in fact, a poop wall. Instead, it identified as a compost fence. Let me say this again. It's not a poop wall. It's a compost fence. Bro, I'll tell you what, that's got to be the best I identify as I've ever heard. You know, they say good fences make good neighbors, but I'm curious if, like, massive piles of shit which self-identify as compost fences qualify as good fences. And you know something? At the end of the day, property line disputes become a big thing. Sometimes you just have to go ahead and do like they do over in no-fault divorce, places when two people are trying to dispute and get rid of each other effectively and walk away from a marriage. And you know what? Over in the UK, they did the same thing. There was this big-ass fucking property dispute, and the UK neighbor said, I'll tell you what, I've had enough. This fucking tree that keeps coming over my property, we're just going to cut this shit in half. That's what we're going to do. So over in Sheffield, UK, an arborist cut down half the branches of a 16-foot-tall fir tree that were hanging over their driveway, according to reports. The rest of the tree is in their neighbor's yard. And the neighbors complain about birds in the tree making too much fucking noise and pooping on their driveway. We asked if we could get a trim back and put a net in it so it'd stop the birds from getting in it, but there was no compromise. So last weekend, he said he was going to get the tree surgeon to cut it down. We asked him not to, but they came on Friday and did it fucking anyways. So here's the best part of things, right? Photos of the fucking tree have been posted on social media and have been turned into memes. So the oddity has even become something of a tourist attraction. We had a lot of people walking past to look at it. People you can just tell have come out of their way to walk their dog on a different route just to have a look. Now, here's the best thing about it, right? I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about it. Yeah, exactly, PZ, exactly. It's a pyronimbus cloud. Well, it kind of reminded me when I was living over in freaking Central Florida, in the middle of like 2007, when you couldn't keep a place because they were converting everything to like brand new condos and shit like that. The worst part about it was there was this hotel they decided to convert into a condominium. It was called the Waverly. And this particular hotel was like right in the prime area of downtown Orlando, right off of the lake that was sitting there. Beautiful. The lake was covered with trees, but it had one small problem. Every fucking pigeon that lived anywhere inside that city lived in that fucking tree. And every time people would go ahead and say, hey, why don't we go ahead and actually have a party over at my place? The only place that you could park was underneath this tree. So whenever you drive by in there in the morning to go ahead and like go pick up a coffee or something like that, every freaking car that was under there was covered from stem to stern in bird shit, the likes of which you couldn't even imagine. There was so much bird shit on it. It looked like some abstract art piece that was created by fucking Vincent Van Gogh, right? It was like fucking Starry Night and, you know, like thick. It had texture. It was fucking disgusting. Fantastic thing. I can relate to these people here. I'm like, dude, if there was a tree that was anything like those that were over at the Waverly place, I'll tell you what, fuck that shit. I'd cut mine in half as well. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, the knock-on effect of this that's fantastic is it's a tourist attraction. Now, if you remember, Lewis Black once said, if you ever want to fix the deficit, just build a big fucking thing and let everyone know where it is. Then tourists will descend on it and make it into like a fucking vacation destination. What we've learned today, kids, is you don't need to build a big fucking thing or throw a redneck rave. Just cut a tree in half. And all the social media fame whores will flock to it, and all of a sudden, you've got a new vacation destination, courtesy of cutting a tree in half. All right, kids, I'm a little parched, and we're going to take a break here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show on this very strange 4th of July sort of like pre-show over on Joculation, right? Something like that. You're listening to Joculation. Wow, kids. So, yeah, do we hate Spotify? I'm just saying, man. Hey, kids. It's Friday night. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. Cultural attaché to the stars, all that. We got the Circle of Intimacy with us this evening.
It's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
So, as we're going on with the show here, the first half of the show, we went ahead and we talked about all the things that were going on, the big parties. In this segment, we're going to be talking about getting a location. Scoping one out, what you've got to do. But before we get into that, big thing on my side. So I want to say thank you to everybody that's been supporting the show. The reason why is it looks like I'm on trend at this stage of the game to break 1,000 downloads by the end of the week. So actually by a week from today, I should say. So I should cross the 1,000 download threshold. And it's a huge thing because of the fact that I only started this, like I believe it was April 19th. So it's been a couple of months, built up a following, and it's been a fun thing. Wanted to say thank you to everybody for that. Might do something special next week. We'll have to see what the story is. But let's get on with the show. So in the first part of the show, we already went through everything that we were discussing as far as like summertime, fun time, all that sort of shit. So what do you do now? At this stage of the game, if you're going to go ahead and create your fantastic little party, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to go out and scope out a location. And nothing ever says class quite like going to a location, like a urine-saturated home dubbed the, quote, Little Slice of Hell, which is listed for a mere $590,000 here over in Colorado. Yeah! I'm just saying, man, it's probably one of the absolute most beautiful, perfect things. So, realtor Mimi Foster said that a dilapidated five-bedroom, four-bath Colorado Springs home, adorned in spray paints with sayings like, suck my ass and feces stuffed in drawers, is a pretty hot commodity right now. She received 16 cash offers within the first 24 hours of the house being on the market. Quote, there was human and animal feces left in the living room to greet you as you walk in. As you enter, there are soaring ceilings and an open floor plan with a second floor overlook, Foster wrote on the listing. You'll also notice that there's not one surface of the home that has not been enhanced with black spray paint or a swinging hammer. But don't let that slow you down. It's not nearly as daunting as the freezer in the basement that's full of meat and hasn't had electricity for over a year. So be sure to wear your mask. She notes that there's a back patio, but, quote, don't go out there as the deck's not necessarily attached to the house in the manner you might hope. She also admits that the home is located, quote, in the pink of a geological landslide area. Come feast your senses. Do not go on the back deck. Do not open the freezer in the basement. Holy fucking shit, man. So at any rate, if you're interested in taking a virtual tour of this absolute fucking gem of a home to host your next summertime party on, you can go to this fantastic YouTube virtual tour, and you too can go check out all the fantastic enhancements that were done to this particular house, including my favorite, where they spray painted, do you like a pile of shit on your carpet? Something to that effect. Hey there, Eileen. So go check out the virtual tour and enjoy and think about what a wonderful place this could make for some summertime celebration this particular summer. And of course, once you go into a place like this, the very first thing that you've got to do is you have to clean the place up, right? I mean, where in the hell do you even start? How would you even get that? Hey, LP, do you have some solutions? That's what I'm here for. I'm a dude with solutions and bad ideas and the charisma to pull them off. What could we possibly do? Well, we might be able to get some flesh-eating bacteria like they did over inside of the museum that was restoring a Michelangelo property over in Italy. So Italian art historians and restorers noticed in 2019 that marble statues in the Medici Chapel, which was commissioned entirely by Michelangelo, or Michelangelo if you want to call him that, were starting to appear dirtier than usual. Staining had been recorded as early as 1595. Italy's National Research Council then figured out what's behind the grime. Bodily fluids leaking from the improperly embalmed corpse of Alessandro de' Medici, along with other compounds accumulated over time from glue and plaster. Alessandro's fluids had seeped into the statues of dusk and dawn that adorned his father's tomb. What a shame. What could we do? Well, kids, to the scene of the crime jumps Anna Rossi, I can't pronounce her last name, a biologist with the Italian National Agency for New Technologies. Whoops, there we go. Woo! And her team picked the eight most promising and virulent bacteria and tested them on like a gridded section behind the altar of the church. And of course, suddenly, next thing you know, boom, COVID pops up and it's kind of like, wow, we could create something really wonderful here. How about we take a break? So they took a little pause due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and then the team released their best flesh-eating bacteria, Ceratitia ficara, SH7, by way of a microbial gel onto the tomb that was becoming stained. And guess what? Quote, SH7 ate Alessandro. So, no more Alessandro, no more shit leaking out, clean as a fucking whistle. We could go ahead and take this very thing right now, and we could go ahead and buy our summer, like our summer swing pad, if you want to, over there, out over in, like, Colorado Springs. It's a quick drive for me over here. We could go ahead and find this virulent and wonderful, like, bacteria that'll eat the flesh and strip the bones clean of anything to go ahead and clean that place up and disinfect it. But then we run into a problem, much like what Normok and Ron are doing right now as they're building their, like, basement dungeon, and, like, Ron's going to be the gimp in. We need to go ahead and get some building supplies to get this shit together. But we got to be careful where we go to, because you never know when, like, there's an exorcism being performed at a local Home Depot. That's right, kids. This bizarre incident took place at the Home Depot in Dickinson City, Pennsylvania. The Dickinson City Police Department received a report that there were, quote, disorderly people having an exorcism in the lumber aisle for the dead trees around 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon. No charges were filed, and two people were escorted out of the building. But that didn't stop the comments from pouring into the police department's Facebook page. First comment, may the price of plywood come down. The name of Christ compels you. Comment number two, how does a wood exorcism happen in 2021 and not a single person in Home Depot recorded this for our fucking entertainment? I'm just wondering also.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Dude, when there are people that are going ahead and performing exorcisms for the fucking wood over in the lumber aisle in a Home Depot, and you got a smartphone, you have, like, you are compelled by the power of Christ. You must record this and post it up for the rest of us. If for no other reason, it's so that we can be part of the service. I mean, I'm sure that Normock feels as though he's been left out at this point in time, and I can empathize with him. Normock, I will tell you this much, man. If I come across some dude doing an exorcism over in the wood aisle, over inside of, like, freaking Home Depot, I will record that shit and send it over to you. That is my civic duty. That's all I can say about that. And then, of course, once we get that thing sorted, we have to deal with some of the interior decor of the house, right? I mean, that's very important. And what better place to go ahead and discover the most hippest and up-to-date trends with, like, interior decor than, like, you know, TikTok and the fantastic trend of, like, recycling baby doll heads into, like, planters. I mean, that's just, like, you know.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, that's going to be awesome. Yes, people have been dismembering their old dolls, slicing off the fucking top of their head, and filling their hollow skulls with soil for their plants to thrive as children's leafy hair.
I mean, what the fuck?
So this homeware hack has given rise to several Instagram accounts, either modeling dolls, heads, planters, or flogging their upcycled creations at flower shops, markets, and fucking online stores. And the best part is, a Twitter user created a planter that cries when it's watered and has also received mixed responses. You know, like, dude,
I mean, what the fuck?
What in the hell is this thing? Oh my God, that's creepy as hell. But the best part is, and I'm looking at you folks over in Canada, I would have looked over at Krim because this woman's Vancouver-based. Violet Patriarch, a Vancouver-based artist, is selling heads for up to like 60 Canadian dollars a pop. And they come in all shapes and sizes with abstract patterns. And you're probably asking yourself, like, what, LP? You know, like punk dolls and dolls which appear to have chicken pox. I'm like,
I mean, what the fuck?
Who the fuck wants a fucking planter that looks like the goddamn head is infested with chicken pox, much less a fucking baby doll? I mean, what in the hell? Involved in an exorcism? Hey, Normock, you want to know something? I've actually been involved in several paranormal investigations. But that's a discussion for a different time. So, Violet over here, she's got some thoughts. And she says, you know, since 2016, I've been focused on collecting and upcycling secondhand plastic baby dolls recovered through thrift stores, garage sales, donations, and strange Craigslist encounters. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, is this not like some form of human trafficking of some kind? I mean, what in the fuck is going on here? Somebody save me. After collecting, cleaning, and disassembling the babies, I sculpt, paint, carve, add embellishments to make uncanny decorative conversation pieces, not only to display in your place, but also pieces to wear on your body.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, I can't hit that button enough. Hold on a minute.
I mean, what the fuck?
I'm just looking at this shit thinking,
how dare you?
What in the fuck, man? Having a bunch of baby doll heads staring at you like that. Very strange. But I'll tell you what, it would be a fantastic addition to the summertime fun party, you know, to the new space that we've got. We got the urine-soaked space that we unleash flesh-eating bacteria on with wood, and we've refurbished it with wood that has been exercised over in the Home Depot lumber aisle by two experts, clearly. And then all we got to do is just go ahead and throw a few freaking decapitated baby heads like something out of a terrible fucking Hannibal Lecter scene. You know, their brains have already been scooped out. Served as some sort of like side dish or perhaps, an amuse-bouche. And we've shoved the freaking plant inside there. And the best part is, you don't just have to go ahead and put them over on your table, your coffee table, to have as a talking piece. You can wander around with it like you're one of those fucking warriors from like Papua New Guinea with shrunken heads all over your fucking body. Imagine the fantastic effect this will have. The raves and the reviews. Imagine all the traffic that'll be generated. Your posts will go viral on Instagram, on TikTok, wherever it is that you're looking for some fame whoredom. Just like, you know, just do it. We've already got this set. And just think, we haven't even touched on the food yet. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know what?
How dare you?
Maybe that'll be in the next segment. Could be, because I'm parched. It's time for a break. Hey, kids, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. So, hey, kids, it's LP Faust, host, cultural attaché to the stars, all that nonsense. Hey, you're listening to Joculation. It's Friday night. Circle of MC's grown just a little bit over here.
One of us, okay? That's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
So the first part of the show, we went ahead and talked about all of these fantastic summertime celebrations, like the Redneck Rave Festival. We talked about that at length. Second part of the show, we talked about fantastic options to go ahead and host your own summertime bash, complete with that urine-soaked wonderful building for about $600K. Over here in Colorado Springs, we talked about how to clean it up, set it up, do all those wonderful things. And guess what, kids? Now what we need to do is we need to talk about entertaining our guests, right? How are we going to go ahead and do that? We want to go ahead and put on the party of a lifetime, right? Well, surf and turf, it seems to be the thing that we've got to do for, like, summertime, right? I mean, that is the thing. And, I mean, lately, the newest trends are, like, surf and turf with a little twist where they're, like, taking invasive species like carp, and they're on the menu now. Well, the good part is Europe is getting on board with their own invasive species that they can go ahead and use for, like, surf and turf, and maybe we can get a little bit over here. Namely, what they could do is their fish for the surf and turf could be this testicle-eating fish with human teeth found in the European waters for the first time. How about that, kids? The pacu, a type of piranha fish noted for its human-like teeth, is usually found in the Amazon River Basin. However, one of the 8-inch fish known as, quote, the ball cutter, was caught by fisherman Einar Lindgren in an eel trap located off the southwest coast of Sweden.
What the fuck?
Dude! Dude! The ball cutter! Get the fuck out of here! He told Swedish news sites, there have been incidents in other countries, such as Papua New Guinea, where some men have had their testicles bitten off. He added that while the pacu is largely vegetarian, they can be a menace to male skinny dippers. Quote, they bite because they're hungry and testicles sit nicely in their mouth.
I mean, what the fuck?
I'll say that one more time. They bite because they're hungry and testicles sit nicely in their mouth.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude. If there was ever a case to be made about we got to get rid of an invasive species, bro, you're looking good on the menu. You know what I'm saying? And of course, you know, with meat being the way that it is now, and there's a little bit of a scarcity issue over here in the United States with a couple of cuts of meat and all that, we got to come up with alternatives. Definitely. And one chef is absolutely getting ridiculed for his alternative after he's promoting bread steak as a vegetarian alternative to meat.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, oh, come on, man. Are you kidding me? At any rate, we'll just go through it. Wrong link there, LP. Good job. So a chef sparked an almighty row after suggesting people try a bread steak. It consists of, quote, Parmesan-crusted chunk of pan-roasted sourdough, which, of course, translates to cheese on toast. The invention went viral on a food website. Basically, it shared a photo on their Instagram, leaving it to a slew of hilarious comments. The post originally said, when at David Markin stopped eating steak, he still craved a slab of something lavish on the center of his plate. and a cauliflower steak just wasn't going to cut it. Enter the breadsteak. Dun, dun, dun! It's a Parmesan-crusted chunk of pan-roasted sourdough that's decadent, fatty, salty, and if you do it right, downright meaty. Do we believe that for a second? I'm just saying, man.
How about new?
Let me tell you something. As a person that doesn't eat meat, I have never sat there and had a piece of cheese toast or a fucking grilled cheese and said to myself, damn, this shit tastes meaty. You know what I'm saying? So, no. Hey, David, Markin, whatever your face is, in terms of whether or not that's meaty.
How about new?
Bro, don't even try to sell it that way. But then, of course, down over in the comments, you get people saying, y'all are really trying to convince people that cheesy bread tastes like steak? Thank you for starting my day off with a laugh. Next one, petition to ban the word breadsteak from ever being said again. Hashtag it's toast. I got to support that one. And the last one said, why would breadsteak be your faux meat choice on toast? Or, excuse me. Why would breadsteak be your faux meat cheese on toast go-to when Welsh rarebit is right there? And let me tell you something, man. If there is ever a delicious thing that has ever been invented, like cheese toast, there's nothing better than Welsh rarebit, and I don't give a fuck what anybody has to say about it. Welsh rarebit is the shit if you're going to do cheese on toast. I'm just saying, all right?
Can I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
But enough of that shit, so now we got our surf and turf. But let me tell you something. When you're playing in the world of alternatives, you have to be careful because there are some people that might get offended. And you might go ahead and find yourself crossing the line of cultural appropriation if you do the wrong thing, like this chef that was accused of cultural appropriation by an angry vegan because he happened to cook tofu. And I'm like, hey, listen to me, all right?
How dare you?
In a heated exchange, the chef received a text message from a fan after sharing a recipe for tofurkey dinner where turkey is replaced with tofu. And let me just stop there. Tofurkey is nasty. At any rate, the fan states that they love the recipe, and when asked how long the chef has been vegan, to which they explain that they're not or even vegetarian, but just don't like meat. The texter then replies that, quote, tofu is strictly for vegetarians and that the chef had been appropriating us and stealing what we need for his own selfish needs. I mean, oh, my God.
How dare you?
How could you? So it went like this. Oh. So you're pretending to be a vegan because it's cool and in? I've been a vegan for 3 years now, and it's the best decision I ever made in my life. It's not hip or cool. It's important. To which the chef responds, good for you. That's great. I'm not pretending to be vegan at all. I'm, in fact, quite open about eating beef on profile. There's a public post state that I just like tofu more because it tastes, you know, more than most meats. And then he comes back, tofu strictly for vegetarians. You're basically admitting to appropriating us and stealing what we need for your own selfish use, you asshole. I'm going to request that the admin, I'm going to go right to him and request that you get removed from our group. To which the chef responds, with all due respect, I'm not appropriating anything. I'm eating food like you, absolute fuck. So then, of course, it got shared on Reddit like everything does. And one person said, imagine having nothing better to do than gatekeeping tofu. Dude, I couldn't agree more. So the moral of the story, kids, let's go ahead and be careful when we do a surf and turf, because we got to go ahead and kill off like invasive species, like the testicle-chomping fish that's over in freaking Sweden or wherever it was. Bread, you know, there is no such thing as breadsteak, and to speak of such a thing is fucking heresy. And should you decide to provide alternatives, God damn it, you better be a vegan, because if not, you're culturally appropriating everything. Do we all got that down?
Can I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Because we don't want to be making no, like, summertime celebration mistakes where we're creating, doing faux pas and shit like that and offending people, right? All right, kids, I'm going to take a break here. I'm LP Faust, I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show. We're only halfway through the show. Cool, that means probably, I don't know, a whole lot more in store. You're listening to Joculation. Hey there, kids. We're back. It's LP Faust. I'm your host, Cultural Agitator of the Stars, all that sort of stuff. So we've been talking about summertime fun time and all these things. We've been talking about fantastic festivals. We've been talking about finding a space for entertaining. We talked about food to go ahead and actually produce for the summertime fun time gathering over here, especially with like 4th of July and America Day coming around the corner over here. But we now need to go ahead and talk about some other activities perhaps that you might want to go ahead and either think about doing or think about not doing. As in this particular case, firefighters are noticing that there's a trend on TikTok which is creating an awful lot of problems, and they're asking people to think twice. So this PSA from the London Fire Brigade, they'd like to ask you to kindly stop trying to force yourself into toddler's swings and getting your fat ass stuck in there, okay?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So the London Fire Brigade was reportedly called to assist a teenage girl who was trapped in the swing. The crew dismantled the swing and then expanded it with the pressure to free her. Dude, they used the jaws of life to extract her out of the fucking toddler swing. I'm just saying, grease her up with some fucking Crisco. Fortunately, she was not injured, and the swing made it in recovery also. According to the statement released on May 11th, young people have been, quote, forcing themselves into toddler swings and getting stuck for TikTok clout.
I mean, what the fuck?
How dare they even fucking do that, you fame whores? In their quest for TikTok fame, people have been potentially diverting our crews from more serious incidents that isn't something we like to see. So the trend was at its peak in 2020, when there were only 52 reports of swing removals with the jaws of life, and there were 32 a year before. But the recent resurgence has brought the total to 105 in the past 2.5 years, and that's just in London. I'm saying, man, we need to rescue people from fucking swings. How can you inconsiderate fucking fame whores do this shit? Listen, there are people out there that need to be extracted from flaming cars and shit like that, okay? There's like charity drives these guys have to do. You're being fucking inconsiderate and abusive of their resources and time when you do stupid shit like this. So please, PSA, leave the fucking toddler swing sets alone, man. Go find the adult swings and go over there. Do we understand each other now? Huh?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Excellent. Now that we've covered that, let's talk about things that you can do. Maybe you're trying to go ahead and have a nice quiet evening. Maybe what you're trying to do is you're trying to go ahead and find some activity that could bring some very, like, petty joy to your life. Something like what this chick on TikTok is doing to her ex because she's obsessed with him. So a TikTok user known as Christina Makes Content stitched a video from @AnnPacker. He asked, what's something that's incredibly immature that you'll never stop doing? Well, her response was, I had a very interesting tactic for revenge. My revenge comes in the form of email newsletters. If I'm in the airport and I need an email to give the airport to use the Wi-Fi, I just give them his email. If I want to read an article but they need an email, I'll send them his. Do I want to be uploaded about events and happenings within a company? Yes. Topics of interest? All of them. Let me tell you something. This is a funny thing, yes, but I got a better story. When I was younger and I was working over at an internet company, this was like back when mobile advertising had just started. And what wound up happening was we decided to go ahead and get into a sweepstakes offer because of the fact that sweepstakes offers at that time were doing absolutely fantastic. So ultimately, I was tasked with, hey, listen, we need to go get a P.O. box. We need to go that we can put on this sweepstakes offer because we're getting fucking wheelbarrows of mail that we've got to cart into the office and we don't even know what the fuck to do with it. And I'm like, so how does getting a post office box go ahead and take care of this? Well, we'll go ahead and have it go over there so it doesn't keep coming over here, and then that way we can figure out what we're going to do with it. Now, here's a dirty little secret about sweepstakes offers. Anytime you run a sweepstakes offer, what winds up happening is web spiders everywhere pick up on it, and there are people that join these lists. Parasites that have nothing better to do than go ahead and try and get on your sweepstakes offer to go ahead and earn some free money for doing nothing. So most sweepstakes offers require you to go ahead and mail in your details so you actually have an entry. Ours had that same thing. Well, as I'm sitting in the office, I have better things to do than go pick up the mail, thinking, hey, guess what? I've only probably got, like, I don't know, about 12 or 100 sweepstakes offers there. No problem. And mind you, I just have one of those little personal email boxes from some private UPS store down the street or whatever. And I'm kind of like, okay, whatever. About 4 weeks later, I get a call, a very aggressive call from the person over there. Listen, man, you need to come over here and get all this fucking mail that's sitting in the back of the room. Well, what? I got like 100, maybe about 300 entries. He's like, dude, they have like 20 of these mail bins full of fucking mail stacked up from floor to ceiling in the back room over here. And I'm like, are you fucking serious? He's like, yeah. So when I go over there, it went from like 12 to like 30 of them. And I had to send a team of people because I was in New York from the place that we were at in the Empire State Building over to the fucking post office box to grab all this shit to go all the way back over there. So as this stuff's going in there, I'm like, look at my boss. I'm like, so what do you want to do? I mean, shit, this shit's just going to keep coming because the web spiders now have it and it just keeps getting spread. It's like COVID now, right? And so what did we do? We did the absolutely fucking mature thing. We just stopped paying our bill. So then that way we no longer had that post office box. Whatever happened to all that mail? I don't know. But it made me think, in the event that you ever want to go ahead and truly fuck with somebody, all you really need to do is create a sweepstakes and put your target's home mailing address on there as the place they need to mail all their fucking entries to. Because once the web crawlers go ahead and get that, they're going to get like 6 or 8 pallets of mail a day delivered to that address over and over. And once you're on that shit, you can't get off of that fucking list. You know what I'm saying? So the moral of the story, kids, is if somebody ever bugs the fuck out of you, just create a sweepstakes offer, put their home address as the place they need to send the entry to, and there you go. Anarchists, people will mail if it's a sweepstakes offer. They absolutely will. I should know because they weren't mailing at that time either. At any rate. And with that, kids, let's get to the show recap, all right? We started out the show this evening. We talked about the Princess Diana statue unveiling. We talked about the tension between the two guys. We also talked about, imagine what would have happened if Chucky had gone ahead and actually had a statue unveiled in his honor. Or even better, how about Prince Andrew? Yeah, crazy weird times with that one. And then after that, we talked about the summertime fun time coming around. Budgie smugglers are back, so get ready to cram your nuts inside of that sack so that you two can go ahead and take them over and, I don't know, get them form, function, and perfect for that moment in shrinkage when it goes ahead and hits once you hit that ice-cold water. And then after the budgie smugglers, we talked about the fantastic summertime parties that once upon a time were hosted by Bill Gates. You know, those fantastic nude pool parties that he would go ahead and, like, get drunk really easily. Apparently, he was Mr. MacD. He went ahead, allegedly, and picked up a whole horde of strippers from the strip club. And then eventually, somewhere along the way, we found out that the true Mac Daddy happened to be Jeff Epstein. I mean, what a surprise, right? And then from there, of course, we went into the next thing, which was the Redneck Rave. And we talked about the fantastic fun that the Redneck Rave had over in Kentucky between the guy that was impaled by the log, women that got choked into unconsciousness over a blanket. I mean, hey, if you're looking to go ahead and join the next Redneck Rave, we went ahead and talked about that. It's going to be over in October 14th through the 17th. All kinds of fun, meth included. Then we talked about the kinds of people that show up at those raves, like the man with the Florida tattoo on his face that was calling 9/11 for a ride home. Did it twice, wound up in jail, so they gave him a free ride just to the wrong place. From there, we talked about good fences making good neighbors, Michigan man building a poop wall to go ahead and settle a dispute with his neighbor, and sometimes when that doesn't go ahead and solve the problem, you wind up going ahead and splitting the difference, like the UK neighbors who cut a tree in half over a bird poop dispute. So then from there, we went into talking about the fantastic establishments and places that you can go ahead and get to host your next summertime fun time gig, like that urine-saturated home not too far from where LP lives for $590,000 that had wonderful things like suck my ass written all over the wall and feces stuffed into drawers. And of course, we talked about how you go ahead and clean that mess up. What do? You go ahead and get some flesh-eating bacteria like the folks did over in the museum out over in Italy to clean off like Alessandro de' Medici's tomb because he was leaking out of the tomb after he was decomposing because, I don't know, he wasn't like embalmed correctly. And so from there, we talked about what do you do to build the inside of that home out? Well, the Pennsylvania, we talked about the exorcism that was occurring in the wood aisle, in the lumber aisle over at the local Home Depot in Pennsylvania. And then from there, we talked about some fantastic new decor, recycling doll heads as planners so that you too can go ahead and freak your guests out, but also give them some party favors to take home so they too can look like, you know, like the shrunken head warriors of like the Papua New Guinea area, and they can just carry them with them and continue the legacy going forward. You know what I'm saying? So then we talked about the fantastic offerings that you should put out there for your guests to enjoy. You know, the food. Food is up there with the entertainment. We talked about that fantastic testicle-eating fish with human-like teeth found over in the European waters, and the chef that was ridiculed after promoting bread steak as an alternative to, like, meat. And then you got to be very, very careful because, you know, if you're not a vegan and you decide to go ahead and do some vegan offerings, you, too, could be accused of cultural appropriation just like that chef did over in the Reddit forum for going ahead and cooking up some tofu recipes when he admitted that he liked meat. From there, we moved on and we talked about all kinds of fantastic things like firefighters issuing a warning about TikTok trend going on right now. Please keep your fat asses out of all the toddler seats over on the swing set because they don't want to have to Crisco your hips, pull you out with the jaws of life. There are more important things out there. People that are dying in flaming cars that they actually need to go ahead and do this stuff with. You know, rescue them. And of course, we wrapped up with the TikTok was obsessed with a woman's genius discovery because she too brought a new level of petty to the argument between exes that is just absolutely fantastic. Well, kids, that's all there is tonight. There is no more. To everybody that came out this evening, want to say thanks for coming out. Thanks for supporting the show. To everybody else that came across and hung out with us for a minute and had to go, hope to catch you on a podcast sometime soon. Hey, kids, I'm LP Faust. As William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage as we strut and fret on the stage of life. Always be sure to ask yourself why watch a show when you can be the show. Hey, kids, this is LP Faust checking out this evening. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.